This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So the link was explained by Ibn Ashur rahimahullah. He said that, well, there's two very clear links here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as being Al-Quddus, the absolutely, immensely pure one. And so he sends a prophet to do what? Well, yuzakkihim, to purify the people's hearts from kufr, from shirk, from all of their backward ideologies and their backward traditions. A second very obvious link is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. And so he sends a prophet to leave behind al-hikmah, his sunnah. And so you can see two very clear links there. The other two are not that clear. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-malik, the king. And the king is the one who has authority over the people. How does he exercise his authority? By laying down the commands and the laws. And that is why the Prophet was sent to وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, to teach them the book, to teach them the laws. How do you live by the laws of the king? And then you might be thinking, what about Aziz, the Almighty? How does that fit in? Well, the Prophet ﷺ was sent to what type of people? Good people? Bad people? Backward people? Well, the people were ummiyin. They were unlettered, uneducated. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah added to that, that they were ummiyun min kulli waj, from many different angles. They were backward. So, though that task was very tough, in fact, you may be thinking, they're never going to change. It's not going to happen. It's not possible. Look at how bad they are. Look at how backward they are. No, recognize who sent the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Aziz, the Almighty One. And the Almighty One, His will never be resisted by anyone. And there's no nation out there bad enough or too bad which the might of Allah isn't stronger to reform them. And that is why Allah mentioned that He is Al-Aziz. Wallahu A'lam, this is an interesting way that Ibn Ashur pieced together verse number 1 and verse number 2. There is a very important lesson that we learn from verse number 2, and that is how to reform ourselves and become stronger Muslims, and also how to reform the people around us. You see, the issue of what do we teach people? What is more important, the laws of Islam or the values of Islam? Many of us, when we want to educate our family members, members of our family that aren't as practicing as us, we want to get them to, pray more. We want to get them to fast. We want them to get them to wear hijab if they're sisters. We want them to, not have free mixing events and, casually talking to one another, those members of the family that aren't supposed to. And these are all common problems that many of us face. But what is the solution? Well, we are being taught part of the solution here, which is those people that are very far away from Allah, they can't appreciate the laws. They can't appreciate why men and women are not supposed to casually speak to one another. They can't appreciate why sometimes women need to wear the hijab. They can't appreciate why men need to lower their gaze. They can't appreciate, why do I need to pray 5 times a day even? Yeah, there are some people out there like, why can't we engage in interest in riba? This is a problem. Now, you could come at it in many ways. You could come at it and say, look, if you engage in riba, then, you're liable to going to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't wear the hijab, sister, then, that is something you'll be punished for. You have to. It is a fard upon you, etc., etc. Or you could come at another angle, which is to say, well, they don't appreciate many things. They don't appreciate the values behind these commands. So let me work on trying to foster those values in their hearts, like appreciating the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone really felt that Allah is the greatest, greater than anything else in their life, then for sure they would find it a little bit easier to listen to what He has to say, If they loved Allah truly with their hearts, then for sure they would find it maybe even something that they want to do, to adhere to what He wants them to do, to adhere to His laws and His commands out of a sense of love for Allah. What about fear of Allah? That's another value, that, when someone fears Allah, then they think twice about disobeying Allah, When they fear His punishment, they fear you know, disobeying him and doing those things that he will become displeased with if they do. Now you have helped them foster these values in their hearts. You've helped purify their hearts. Then there comes a time where you need to tell them, now brother, you know, you need to lower your gaze, you know, because this is something that will corrupt your heart. It's something that will make you impure. And already you've told him that one of the values of Islam is that people should be pure, upright, decent, and not indecent, not shameless people. Rather, they should be people of shame, people of purity, pure hearts. So he's already wanting to be a pure person. And then you come along and you said, one way to keep yourself pure, when you see attractive women out there, don't look twice. In fact, lower your gaze. That will make you become even more pure. And so he may even say, you know what? I was actually looking for ways to become purer. And this is fantastic. You just told me one way and it's difficult, but you know, I'll try. And I can see why Allah would want us to do that too. Do you see the benefit here, my brothers and sisters? This is the role of the Prophet ﷺ. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتي ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب. Teaching them the laws came after purifying their hearts. The next verse. وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. And آخرين. Not آخرون, آخرين. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to those people in Makkah at that time. And he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 63. But did his role end there? No, it continued on to akhareen, meaning that he was going to recite yatlu ala. Ala is a harf jar, and it is extending to akharun to become akhareen. That is the grammar there. So his role to recite the book of Allah and to purify people's hearts and to teach them the laws and to give them his sunnah, his tradition, was going to extend to others. Who are these others? It has been told to us in another hadith. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains that the tafsir of akhareen was given to us by the Prophet himself. In this amazing hadith, when the Prophet recites this verse, what does he, one of the companions, he says, and who are these akhareen? Who are these other people? He wants to know. And he wants to know because he can't really imagine that Islam would spread to other empires, like the Byzantine Empire, like the Persian Empire. He can't see that happening. So when he hears that Allah is saying that this role that you have will extend to beyond Arabia, he wants to know, is that really the right understanding? So he says, Man hum ya Rasul? Who are those other people? And the Prophet doesn't reply. He asks him again, in another narration, three times. And then the Prophet sees who? Salman al-Farisi, Salman the Persian one, sitting there amongst the companions. He gets up and he places his hand on him and he says to him that had this iman, in another narration this ilm, in another narration this deen, been عند ثريا, been located in a cluster of stars somewhere out there in outer space, لنا له رجال من هؤلاء, then for sure it would end up reaching people even from where this one is from. Meaning that, subhanAllah, you doubt that Islam would spread beyond the borders of Arabia? Let me tell you something. If Islam wasn't in Arabia, it was in those stars out there, for sure it would reach the people out there. And here, as Abu Hayyan rahimahullah said, the Prophet has given us an example. It's not that Islam would spread to the Persians and Persians only. Rather, he's given an example that Arabs first and then non-Arabs. Akhareen refers to the non-Arabs. That they will all one day be touched by my message. You know, and that teaches us so many things. It teaches us, for example, that the Quran would remain until Yawm al-Qiyamah. For if the Quran didn't remain, then how exactly would this verse be true? How exactly would other people find out about it? And moreover, not just the Quran, but the language of the Quran. For sure, if the Quran remained, but after 1,000 years, like now 1,436 years, the language of Arabic changed so much that it was very different to the Quran, the language of the Quran, then for sure we wouldn't even be able to understand the Quran. Which, what purpose would it serve then? Well, it means that, subhanAllah, not only would the Quran be protected and preserved until Yawm al-Qiyamah, but the language of the Quran as well. And on top of that, maybe you can understand the language of the Quran and learn it now, but you can't piece together the meanings of the Quran. because there's vital information missing. That vital information was given to us by the Prophet ﷺ. But you know what? We need to know what the Prophet ﷺ had to say in order to understand it. Well, if there's going to be everybody else outside of Arabia reaching this message of the Prophet ﷺ, it means that his sunnah must also survive and his sunnah must also be preserved. So this one verse, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ, teaching us so many things about this amazing religion of ours, that it is amazing when it came and it will continue to be amazing and touch the lives of every single person until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ, meaning others also, non-Arabs, will be touched by your message. لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, meaning though right now it might not be the case that the Persians and the Byzantine and everybody else has heard about Islam, but it's going to happen. Maybe not now, but later on. And that's very interesting because we're going to be taught about Salatul Jum'ah later on. So we've already been taught in the beginning that this religion is going to spread. And then we're being told about something that will help it spread, which is the Jum'ah. And that really gives us a sense of what Jum'ah is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be some dry ritual where you go and listen to the imam saying things you don't understand for like 5 minutes and then leave as if nothing ever even happened. No, it's supposed to be something that impacts you in a real way, and not just you but the whole community. And Jumu'ah and the establishment of Jumu'ah is one of the key ways in which Islam would spread to everybody else in the world after the Arabs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَخْرَنَ مِنُوا لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And then he ends by declaring that he and he alone is Al-Aziz, the Almighty and the All-Wise. The Almighty, you can appreciate why Allah would mention it here, for he's talking about the expansion of Islam and the fact that Islam would spread not just at that time geographically but over the years to come and continue to spread. And subhanAllah, this is what we find. I mean, I read in the BBC about a new masjid that was established in 2010 called the northernmost masjid in the world, somewhere up near in Canada, where there's a small community of 8,000 Muslims. And this village, if you like, had around 8,000 Muslims and they had no masjid. And it's so cold up there as well that very few people live there. So what they did is they decided to build a masjid. And this masjid, they couldn't build it where they were because of the weather conditions. So they had to build it somewhere further down south. And then it was shipped up through the river for across 40,000 kilometers to that destination. And when it reached there, it became the northernmost masjid in the world today, subhanAllah. That where as far as you go now, even far up north, the least likely place where people live, you'll find some Muslims there, and also you find the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are seeing the reality of, you know, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ in our own lives. You know, we can appreciate, subhanAllah, this verse maybe better than some of the companions, in that we can see the reality of this manifesting. And that shows us that Allah is the Almighty, that He's allowing this to happen, making this happen, facilitating this. And that's why Allah ended the verse, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ and Hakim, meaning the wise, and it's all going to unravel in a very wise and magnificent place, in a magnificent way rather. Okay, all of this, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes what he has said by saying, ذَلِكَ, all of this, the sending of the Prophet ﷺ, taking the Arabs, ancient Arabs, out of ضَلَالِ mubin, and then making it spread to the rest of the world, is all from the fadl of Allah. It is all from the favor and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُؤْتِي مَن يَشَاء, and He gives it to whoever He so wishes. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ, and He is the one who possesses all favor and the one who is the greatest, Al-Azim, the magnificent one. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us that there's many things that we value in our lives. We value education, we value money, we value our children. The reality is that the greatest blessing we have in our life is not our children, is not our education, is not our job. It is our religion. That this religion is the greatest fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bless anyone. This guidance that Allah gives, it is the greatest of all blessings that anyone could ever have. And that is why when we read ذَلِكَ فَضْلٌ, this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should make us call out to Allah to keep us on guidance. And it should also make us cry out to Allah, protect us from misguidance. And it should also make us appreciative that Allah, you guided me. And to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guided you and never left you like He left the Quraysh in Dalal Mubin before the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this brings us to the end of the first part of this tafsir of Surah Al-Jum'ah. Inshallah, in the second part we will cover the rest of this great surah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.